Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Mona Crevel, who is a professor of government at Cornell University and a fellow at the Mannheim Center for European Social Research at the University of Mannheim in Germany. Her research focuses on the relation between media and politics, and in particular on the role of the media in election campaigns. And she is the author of Modernization of German Election Campaigns and Campaign Communications Between 1957 and 1965. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mona Crevel.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mona. And obviously, there's an important election underway in Germany, although it looks as though it's going to be a bit of a walk for Angela Merkel. But let's talk a little about, she's resumed her phone conversations with Vladimir Putin, and they apparently had a long talk yesterday about figuring out how to play a role in dampening down the tensions between the United States and North Korea. And as you know, the UN just passed an extra package of sanctions and said the North Koreans in return said that they would inflict great pain on the United States. So we've had this overwrought rhetoric going on. But my understanding is that in Germany and in Europe, there are genuine concerns and worries about Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un's rhetoric and threats going back and forth. And there's also added to that, there's a concern in Germany that Trump may also pull out of the P5+1 deal with Iran. So let's deal with those anxieties. Are they real?
Yes, they are real. And on the other hand, Merkel is also campaigning at the moment. That is something we have to keep in mind. So first of all, she had that phone call with Putin yesterday. I wouldn't overestimate it. I was actually surprised that it was more covered in the American media than it was in the German media. So they were downplaying it a lot more because she had phone calls with Emmanuel Macron before and also with Trump. But Germany is worried about North Korea and Kim Jong-un and about Trump. They have been worried about Trump right from the beginning after the election already. But you can say Germany is one of the few countries who actually have diplomatic relationships with Pyongyang. And they haven't been asked to go on that peace mission and talk to Pyongyang diplomatically yet. So that is what the spokesperson of Angela Merkel said. But they are trying to de-escalate the situation for the reason that they have these diplomatic ties with Pyongyang, but also for the reason that Merkel currently is campaigning in Europe. And I think she would like to be associated with peace as a peace chancellor. That has already worked out for other incumbents before her, like Gerhard Schröder, who in 2005 said he would not go, he would not send German troops to Iraq, even if he wasn't asked by the U.S. at that time to do so. But his clear no helped him during this election campaign. And the same is here also a bit the case for Merkel, being the one who is supporting a peaceful way to solve the problems between the U.S. and North Korea. Is something that German voters definitely want to see her. It also helps her talking to Putin, to Trump, to Macron, to demonstrate her leadership qualities, of course, to German voters.
So is it possible, though, that as much as what you've explained, that running as a peacemaker is going to help Angela Merkel in her election in Germany and in Europe at large, could it also help reinvent Vladimir Putin? I mean, after all, Vladimir Putin presides over a nuclear arsenal slightly bigger than the United States. And if there are concerns about the stability of Donald Trump, which were expressed, by the way, by a Republican senator, the head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Corker, who questioned Trump's stability. I think that's not a very ambiguous indication of perhaps an allusion to mental stability. Is it possible that Putin could say, you know, I'm the steward of this vast arsenal and we don't want to be on a hair trigger alert all the time and have the fate of the world in our hands if the president of the United States is not showing sufficient stability? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. So, first of all, I think Putin is also taking his chance here because of Donald Trump on the other side. So he has his chance now to be seen as a peacemaker as well. And he's also kind of approaching Merkel over the Ukraine crisis, that he's doing the same. He's kind of saying he is suggesting a UN peacekeeping mission in Donbass. Even if Merkel said there are still some changes on the mandate that need to be made, this actually found the approval of Putin, who on his part offered to repeal the limitation of the mission to the contact line. And instead, the peacekeeping mission should now protect the OSCE observers where they are working, according to the Minsk package of measures. So therefore, there seems to be incremental improvements made in this question as well, which kind of shows to me that he's trying to create the image that he's the better guy out there. That he can be a peacemaker in a situation where we have Kim Jong-un on one side and Trump on the other, that he takes his chance to kind of create a different image.
And again, I'm speaking with Mona Crevel, who's a professor of government at Cornell University and a fellow at the Mannheim Center for European Social Research at the University of Mannheim in Germany. Her research focuses on the relations between media and politics, and in particular on the role of the media in election campaigns. And she's the author of Modernization of German Election Campaigns, Campaign Communications between 1957 and 1965. So turning to the other issue, the P5+1 agreement with Iran, and there does seem to be, apparently, it was a very contentious meeting in the White House when President Trump agreed to certify, which has to be done every 90 days under the agreement, to certify the P5+1 agreement with Iran. And there were acrimony between Stephen Bannon and Secretary Tillerson, who was apparently insulted. And it was quite apparently a nasty meeting. And Trump very grudgingly agreed to the 90-day extension. But it will come up soon. And a lot of analysts think that, again, because it's a campaign promise, and more importantly, I think, because it's something that Obama did, and Trump seems to be fixated on undoing anything and everything that Obama did, it's quite likely that the U.S. will pull out of that agreement. But Germany, of course, is a part of the agreement. That's the plus one. And so is Russia. So would that, if the U.S. pulls out, would that also bring Russia and Germany closer together?
I think so, yes. This would definitely bring Russia and Germany closer together, because Trump would have been proven one more time that he is not a stable negotiation partner. And that would be something where Putin could once again grab his chance to enhance his relationship with Germany. Yeah, definitely.
So President Trump, of course, has dismissed the ramping up of sanctions by the UN Security Council, which were watered down from what the U.S. was hoping for or demanding. And there is obviously some bite to them in terms of restricting exports of textiles, etc. But in general, Trump sort of dismissed it as saying it's not a very big deal. Mm-hmm. And there'll be more later. So again, he's back in his threatening mode. What can Germany do in terms of its representation there? What's your understanding of how they interact with the North Korean regime? We know the U.S. uses Sweden as its interlocutor, but could Germany step up in terms of its diplomatic efforts inside of North Korea?
I think Germany has to be very careful. They have diplomatic relations with Pyongyang, so they could take to Pyongyang, but I think they wouldn't do it without the backup by at least France, Japan, South Korea, and perhaps also the U.S. I think perhaps Merkel and Putin are also joining, like others, to calm Trump down. He has not gotten what he wanted with the UN resolution fully, because Beijing would not have willing to support the proposal otherwise. Russia would have not. So he has not fully gotten what he wanted. But there are also reasonable forces within the Trump administration. So Tillerson, for example, said that he would be willing to negotiate if Pyongyang freezes its nuclear program. Also the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. said that this was not a point of no return. There is still a chance for North Korea. So having a go from others, I think perhaps Germany could start talking incrementally, stepwise, with Pyongyang, possibly. Yeah.
And again, I'm speaking with Mona Crevel, who's a professor of government at Cornell University and a fellow at the Mannheim Center for European Social Research at the University of Mannheim in Germany. Her research focuses on the relations between media and politics, and in particular on the role of the media in election campaigns. And she's the author of Modernization of German Election Campaigns, Campaign Communications between 1957 and 1965. And in terms of Putin, do you think that he could reinvent himself and get in any way get out from under the inquiries going on in this country about Russian interference in the last election? In other words, could the arsonist become the fire brigade? Or do you think that that scandal, since it's already being investigated by a special counsel, and every day there seems to be more and more revelations which the press seizes on, so what's your sense, since you're both a German scholar, but you're also here in the United States, whether or not...
I think actually that he probably cannot fully wash his hands, pretend that this has never happened. It's much of a big issue. But the fact that nothing has happened like this in the German election so far, where there would have been a lot of stake for them, shows that they are kind of trying to change the image of Russia also. So in the German election, we might have expected, because after the hacking attack in 2015, into the computer network of the German parliament, that some of the fruits of this hacking would be revealed during the hot phase of the election campaign. But nothing has happened so far. So even there haven't been any Russian propaganda networks trying to launch any massive disinformation campaigns. The boats remain silent. So even though for Russia there's a lot of stakes, so Merkel had her duels with Putin in the past, and she has taken a strong stance on Russia. So for Russia, other parties competing on the left and on the right who have softer positions towards Russia would have been a better choice. But oddly, nothing happened so far. And so some people think it's useless for Russia to interfere in the German election this time, because Merkel is way ahead of Martin Schulz, and the AfD, who is pro-Russia, will make it into the Bundestag even without the help of the Russians. But some others also say they have overplayed it in the U.S. case. And perhaps that's why they are trying to keep things low this time, and because it's always a risk for them to interfere in an election, in particular because they have overplayed this U.S. case, and they will never... It will never fully restore the image of Putin after this. So for many people, he's the one who has run this election, and this will be always be in the minds of people, I think.
And the AD that you mentioned is the right-wing nationalist party in Germany. So is it because then Putin has learned his lesson, that it didn't work, in that it backfired, his interference in the Dutch elections and in the French elections? Or do you think he's doing this because he wants to repair his relationship with Merkel?
Both. First of all, I think, I mean, like, it has kind of paid off for him. So Trump is elected, which this is not too bad for him. So, but on the other hand, I think Merkel will win this election more or less anyway, and the AfD, which is the right-wing party that is pro-Russian, will make it into the Bundestag without any Russian help, so it was not worth it to risk another interference here. And also, Russia's strategy is usually destabilizing European societies, which is less easy in Germany, because German voters, even after 12 years, seem to vote for Merkel and are reluctant to change. So it's not working that well for Russia here. So perhaps that's why they are trying to keep their hands out of this election. We will not fully know until September 24, until the election. So it's still possible that something has happened very shortly before the election, but cybersecurities are alarmed. So they have even warned already that Russian hackers could manipulate the vote count. Checking, as far as I know, the websites, the respective websites, hourly for leaked new documents from the Bundestag. And so, but it was just one attempt so far to hit Merkel's website with thousands of cyber attacks, of which some were Russian, obviously. But this was it, basically. Nothing else happened. So there are several reasons for which Russia might have decided to keep their hands out of the German election this time. For an image change, for the fact that it's not worth it in case of the German election, and perhaps also because of the a reason that Germany has recently reacted publicly very sharply, actually, for Russian sabotage. So That's why perhaps we don't see any of these attempts so far.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, it does seem, though, that things are sort of coming out in the open a little more in Russia, which is sort of interesting. Just the other day, the leader of a far-right-wing Russian party in the Duma was on a political talk show, and he said, it's time for us, the Russians, to release the compromat, the compromising material we'll have on Donald Trump. And when he was asked about whether we have it, he said, of course we have it. And then just yesterday, I think it was actually the Speaker of the Duma was on this, I think it might have been the same political talk show, where he let it slip that we, the Russians, elected Donald Trump, he said so proudly. So what's your sense of whether the cat's going to come out of the bag?
Perhaps there's still something to come. We don't know. I would like to see, perhaps personally, more that they have something interesting about Angela Merkel. I don't know. But perhaps there is still something coming. But I think some Russians are still proud of this, and they cannot keep it for themselves. So they kind of threaten the U.S. On regular interviews that there is something to come.
Right. Well, of course, we've all seen the picture of Angela Merkel sitting down with Putin, and Putin knows mm-hmm. that Angela Merkel was terrified of dogs, so he had these big black lab come into the meeting. You can see the look of terror on her face as this mm-hmm. big dog plonks down next to her. So
that was a demonstration of power, I guess.
Right. Well, Monica Revel, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Mona Crevel, who is a professor of government at Cornell University and a fellow at the Mannheim Center for European Social Research at the University of Mannheim in Germany. Her research focuses on the relation between media and politics, and in particular on the role of the media in election campaigns. And she is the author of Modernization of German Election Campaigns, Campaign Communications Between 1957 and 1965. We're going to take a brief station break and back examining the new round of sanctions on North Korea following a unanimous vote by the UN Security Council.